want to start with the portfolio of committee of standing aside because I'm a state of management in a sense. We were starting the meeting on the basis of one item that is before us, which is as a result of our decision to forego that we would want to get a report in relation to conversions of entities. And we gave the clarity of what we look for in the report. So that's the original convening. But members will also be aware that in terms of the program, we're supposed to meet the Competitions Commission as well as ICASA on the market data share issue. We have since received correspondence, which is quite self-explanatory from the Competition Commission, that there were still matters to be sorted out before they come before the committee. However, the Commission Chair made a commitment that will be a priority immediately those matters are resolved. I don't want to stick to the time frame that is estimated, the 2 to 3 weeks, because matters of that nature may also be affected by one or two things. But I think what's important is the commitment made. That will be the priority to receive such a report. So that's the reason we had to come back to this item. So I just thought it's important that members take note of that, and I'm making a reasonable assumption that members have received the correspondence from the Competitions Committee Chair, which we had asked that it be circulated previously. But I'm just saying that's where we are. So this is the item we're dealing with. Just to dispense with formalities, we do have apologies. One honorable member, Majozi, who's in relation to bereavement. We also have Honorable Mackenzie, whose apology is still standing in terms of ill health. We also have an apology from the Deputy Minister, Yuri Kekane, was unable to attend the Portfolio Committee meeting. But we are happy, Minister, that you are here yourself in that regard. As I said, without really a waste of time, or how do I do this? Honorable Van Damme has really pleaded that as a latecomer of note, when she's early, I must make sure that formally I recognize that she was here. Yeah. Well, on time before anyone else was here. So we really acknowledge, we just want you to keep it up. So the committee is still correct.
And again, they need my water to help.
So you are acknowledged in that regard. Okay. Having said that, honorable members, I take it that the department would have sorted out who will be presenting, but as it is the norm for the committee, would allow the Minister of Communications and Digital Technology, Honorable Minister Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, to give an overview. And of course, will be directed by Indinista as to who will then present after yourself. But you are all acknowledged, including the delegation from the department, as has been acknowledged by the minister too. So if you are ready, Minister, you give me an indication. So can I hand over to you?
Thank you, Chen, and good morning to all members and colleagues. To get in there, let me take an opportunity to thank the Portfolio Committee for inviting us to update the Portfolio Committee on the work as we trudge towards the 1st of April, taking into consideration that in the 5th administration, the President made announcement that the department is going to be one. I was talked to the Department of Communications, the Department of Telecommunications, which by the 1st of April will be the Department of Communications and Digital Technology. This therefore warranted a situation whereby we had to look into the personnel that we have. We then directed the departments and the entities to do a field audit in order for us to understand the capability as the mandate was present. We're not just merging the departments, it's a reconfiguration of those, or there's a new mandate that's added. So we really need to understand, or are we up to the task in relation to fulfilling the mandate that has been given, and if we are not, what are the intervention measures that we must put in place? So we come here, Chairperson, to talk to the SOEs, and of course, as we talk about the state-owned entities, honorable members, we also are aware that the president has established the SOC rationalization council, which is looking into, because now we talk of existing entities currently, and then that's the body that's looking at saying, as we reconfigure the state as the shareholder, we get to see that Usela, Umulala, Unomvui, so we don't think they're adding much value, and therefore we must do away with as being the entities and introduce new entities if there's a need, the entities that must respond to the mandate of the Swift administration going forward. So the team is busy with that, and they do identify also which ones must be combined. And in our portfolio, as we have been reporting, fortunately, some of the issues that we raised, the issues that were already in the plan. If you look into our white paper, in our report, we had already started to say there's a need for government to have one infrastructure company. Because right now, for example, as I'm speaking to yourself, Eskom does provide both broadband, Transnet, and others. So we are saying the state must consolidate all its assets under one infrastructure company, which then in the portfolio talks to the BBI and Centec that must come together. And then our cabinet had approved that we then look into consolidating the others once the final rationalization process is finalized, to say all the functions must be together. This also spills over to the agency that we refer to as USASA, which are the white paper again, made reference to establishment of the DDF, the Digital Development Fund. The department had presented the bill, which we withdrew because we said we must then not introduce bills one by one. If there are amendments, just make sure that we look into all the areas so that when we come to Parliament, we come once on this bill, we don't come back after 6 months, no, now there's this decision that has been taken and therefore we request amendments. We said let's withdraw so that we finalize all that process and then we come back to Parliament. The third one being CETA. As you know, honourable members, we've had lots of challenges, both from CETA side, but both from other departments that were not doing things accordingly when it comes to the work of CETA. But most importantly, looking into remodeling and repurposing CETA into a new agency that must drive the digital transformation in government and therefore be able to provide digital services. That process also, the business case and all those have been done. The teams will take us through the details. And the post-bank, we've reported both in the fifth administration and in the new administration, the sixth administration, the separation of post-bank from SAPO and the legislation that therefore was amended by the House in Parliament. And then now there's just a minor amendment that needs to be brought on board. I will then, Chairperson, with your permission, allow the team to get into detail of how far we have gone and the decisions or the rationale of the decisions that we have taken. As I'm reporting that, Chair, I want the members to bear in mind that this may not be all. Things can change because the rationalization process is not finalized. We're just talking to what we are working on currently. The SOC Council is working to say these are the other areas because they keep on coming up with certain things that they consider. Thank you so much, Chair. I'll hand over to the Director General. We're going to have the teams presenting. Then if the Director General, they decide to delegate, then they will indicate. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. The presentation on NMOC, that is the reconfiguration of the department, will be done by Ms. Matobe Tusi. and the presentation on the said entities was designed by the DG Shannon.
I understand that when you present, you may maybe go into detail. We appreciate that. But we are also just giving a caution in terms of time. You presented before us, so based on the experience, the DDG in particular, so we are just making sure that we understand the details. The members have had an opportunity to go through the presentation. Mm-hmm. So if you can just talk to the presentation so that we have more time to actually engage the presentation. I'm also sensible to the point that we have a very long day in the house today. So without diluting your presentation, if you can just talk to it, but allow more space for members to engage the presentation. So I'm not going to give you 30 minutes the presentation. So first presentation, because I've received it, Honorable Minister, it's an update, because that one you handled in the committee, the first one. 10 minutes would be fine. And we'll give the one on the SOE, which is 20 minutes. So your 30 minutes is split along that line, so that we allow members to engage the presentation. Thanks. I just wanted to be sure that that guidance has been given. Otherwise, I'm not here.
Thank you very much, Chair. The presentation already noted here is the one on the reconfiguration of entities. I don't know whether we request that they swap for the presentation and then we start with the department or with the entities.
You can just proceed, because as I said, I've already given a preamble of what that other presentation is. But as long as you keep the date, 20 to you, 10 on the other.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning. And good morning to honourable members, minister, and colleagues. I'm going to be making the presentation then on the process to reconfigure entities in the portfolio, and as well as issues around the appointment process of board members. So that is just the table of contents, which captures what I've just said. The first reconfiguration exercise that we are dealing with is the one merging FBBI and Centec to create a state ICT infrastructure company. And essentially, this will not merge the two entities, but is looking at consolidating all the state capacity, that is broadband capacity or infrastructure capacity under this one company, also looking at utilizing the capacity of other SOEs, which lends itself to broadband delivery. So that is the first reconfiguration exercise, which is already underway. We are projecting that by the end of the next financial year, the 2020-2021, we would have submitted the legislation dealing with this measure to Parliament, which would have already been approved by Cabinet for both public consultation and ultimately submission to Parliament. The next exercise mm-hmm. relates to what we call the repurposing of CETA. Mm-hmm. Essentially, this exercise is informed by our understanding that CETA, even from its very creation, was not supposed to be exclusively an IT procurement agency of government. Our view is that CETA ought to have and still requires to be positioned to be a fully fledged IT company, state IT company, And as it is ordinarily the case, then its mandate and function need to start right where it always starts for these kind of companies, doing things relating to research and development of the new product and the new products, and therefore bring about innovation of such products. And that deals with at least two issues. One, reducing the import content of IT goods and services, but also if we innovate and then produce these locally, we are starting to impact on the economy, improving the contribution of the sector to the GDP as well as to the development of the economy. And we are also hoping to position CETA to be able to play a stronger role as an agency for digital transformation in government. CETA will be positioned then through this process to perform and lead as an agency for digital transformation. It will also deal with aspects relating to cyber security, which is a function currently dispersed across several organizations, but to the extent that it relates to digital transformation, then CETA will carry that responsibility. Our view is that CETA will continue to facilitate the procurement of IT goods and services in government, but certainly not in the form that they are currently doing. We have looked around other jurisdictions, how entities of the nature of CETA are performing their activities, and they vary from what we currently have here in the form of our CETA, which becomes the actual procurer, to the other end of the spectrum where this kind of an entity only just creates the platform, which is then dispersed and decentralized for use by all government departments and agencies to procure these goods and services. In that way, then, an entity of the CETA, we imagine, will play a role in creating the platform as well as developing the standards and availing that platform to as many suppliers as possible. So that is the work we are doing on, again, repurposing CETA, and again, we are planning to submit that piece of draft legislation into the parliamentary process by the end of the financial year. So the next slide, given the time, just update or give update where we are right now from the process of developing, you know, the draft business cases, which we now want to be reviewed and finally drafted in accordance with the standards for drafting business cases in consultation with the Treasury, the Presidency for the sayers, as well as the DPSA and the clusters of government. The entities themselves, DBI and Centec, have appointed a service provider to do the actual detailed work on the due diligence on both companies so that we know the status of the use for the merged company. And we are also in consultation with the state law advisors. We have since received an initial certificate from the state law advisors on the state IT company. We are working on that as we finalize the business cases for submission then to the cluster process. There are still further consultations on the state ICT infrastructure company, but we have received the opinion from the state law advisors on how best this, which we seek to do, can be achieved in terms of, instead of doing a new bill, perhaps considering amending the legislation providing for the establishment of BBI, and then we use that as the base for establishing the state ICT infrastructure company. The next exercise that is currently underway, but perhaps not as far advanced as the two that I have mentioned, relates to what we call the establishment of the Digital Development Fund, the DDF. Effectively, the coming into being of the DDF will see the dissolution of USASA and USAF as they currently stand. And so in this case, we are still in the early stages of developing the business case for the DDF and the attendant draft bill, and we have included that into our plans for the year coming. The next work that we have already done so much work on was that relating to the reconfiguration of NEMISA, the National Electronic Media Institute of South Africa, developing it into what we call the IGAMBA Digital Skills Institute. The bill was submitted to this effect into the parliamentary process, but we have had to withdraw this bill, essentially to reconceptualize it, to try and realign it to the 4IR and the emerging recommendations from the Presidential Commission on the 4IR. On Postbank, again, Postbank has been in process for a long time now, but there has been two issues that have been the delaying point in terms of finalizing the application for the Postbank license. The first one, which I'm happy to report, has since been resolved, related to empowering the Reserve Bank to grant licenses to SOEs. SOEs in terms of the previous legislation, the Banks Act legislation, were defined as entities who may not apply for banking licenses, and this has since been corrected with the amendment to the Banks Act, which was initiated by the Minister of Finance and ultimately promulgated by Parliament last year. The next issue, which is somewhat related to the amendment to the Banks Act, relates to what we call the controlling company of the Postbank. In terms of the Postbank legislation, as it still stands, the post office is meant to be the controlling company of the Postbank. Yet, in terms of our negotiations with Treasury, which has now been captured as part of the amendments to the Banks Act, only SOEs that are in a strong financial position may apply for banking licenses or may become controlling companies for banks. Just as a result of that inclusion in the Banks Act, then the post office, given its current financial position, can no longer become a bank controlling company for the post. So to deal with that, we are now working on amending the Postbank legislation to allow government to be a direct shareholder to the Postbank. I need to hasten though and add that direct ownership still does not do away with the strategic and synergistic relationship that needs to continue to exist between the Postbank and the post office, in the sense that the Postbank will still utilize, in the main, the same infrastructure of the post office, which is generally available across the country, and with some improvements, creates a very strong base for the Postbank to operate from. So the relationship may be broken now from a governance point of view, but from a structural and functioning point of view, they will continue to coexist and utilize the same infrastructure. So part of the slides then deal with the just update on the application for the banking license. That has since been submitted starting in 2016 with the approval to establish a bank from the Reserve Bank, which then was followed by the actual submission of the application for the license. Given the amount of time, you know, this has taken to do all the other necessary work, the Postbank continuously refreshes the information that is already in possession of the Reserve Bank, so that, you know, the Reserve Bank has the latest information available. With the ultimate passing of the amendments of the Postbank bill that we are going to be putting through, then the Reserve Bank will be in a position to give its final determination on the licensing of the Postbank. Then the other work that we are planning to do relates to the reconfiguration of the regulatory institution in the portfolio. Here we are talking about ICASA, the Films and Publication Board, the FPB, and DOZEDNA, Domain Name Authority. These are all institutions that are performing regulatory functions of one form or another relating to the sub-sectors of the sector. And the view is there's a lot of synergy that can be cultivated and taken advantage of in matching those regulatory institutions. But this work, again, is still at its early stages, but it was already envisaged in the white paper as it stands, you know, proposing a new economic regulator at the time. But now the work is matching these existing entities, but also taking counsel or being informed by the work of the OIR Presidential Commission as it makes its recommendation. Then on top of the reconfigurations that are currently underway, we felt maybe we need to just complete the picture by presenting major turnaround initiatives that are currently underway. And in this respect, we are looking at the two entities, the Post Office and the SABC. The Post Office turnaround strategy has been underway for quite a long time, which has been supported by significant injection of resources by government into the Post Office. We are looking at about 8 billion in the past 3-4 years to support the turnaround of the Post Office. There's still a lot of work to do, in our view, to fully take advantage of the e-commerce space, but also the introduction of the technology generally into the operations of the Post Office, bringing with it then the opportunity for SMEs to participate in the e-commerce platform, but also the revitalization of the, we say here, the entire industry, but particularly the courier business, which has been eaten up over a longer period of time by other operators. It still remains the highest growing element of the postal business in the country, but the Post Office has not sufficiently capitalized on that. With respect to the SABC turnaround strategy, this was finalized as part of their request for a government bailout last year and was submitted in September 2019. The idea really was to then put the public broadcaster on a sound operational and financial footing in order to deliver on its mission. So as part of the submission of that work, government then committed 3.2 billion bailout to the SABC, and out to the level of 2.1 billion already, which was subject to the SABC making significant progress on meeting the attended conditions to this bailout. There is still a remaining 1.1 billion which we still need to be paid to the SABC on final certification that they have indeed met the remaining condition. So the technical teams have agreed that indeed that work has been done, but that is still subject to the ultimate approval of the two ministers, which will soon be communicated to the SABC. And when that happens, then the remaining 1.1 billion will be payable to the SABC. Then I'm going to run quickly, Chair, through the process of board appointments in the portfolio, starting with the SABC. The first slide just shows the members of the board. I'm not going to dwell there. And similarly, the executives of the SABC. We have limited here the executives who are also members of the board as executive directors. Otherwise, the number of executives in the SABC is bigger than the three that we show there. We say there's no vacancy in the SABC board right now, as well as executive level. Last year, it was reported that the COO resigned, but that COO has since been replaced, and the new COO commenced on 1st November 2019. On ICASA, perhaps the heading is slightly misleading there because it refers to non-executive board members, whereas we know with ICASA particularly, the council members are full-time, and perhaps then calling them non-executive could be potentially misleading, but we were just trying to make a distinction between board members as we know them, as opposed to the executives, the people who run the day-to-day activities of the authority. So we show there the executives of ICASA, who are the chief executive officer and the chief financial officer. The committee is already seized with the work of filling the five vacant positions in the council, and we are hoping that process will finalize by March. At the executive level, there are no vacancies there. FPB, we again detail the membership of the board, and with FPB we have the normal board as well as the appeals tribunal. The normal board has no vacancies, and with the appeals tribunal we have one vacant position. We list as well the executives of the FPB on the next slide, and we then say there's one vacancy in the council, particularly in the appeals tribunal. The CEO and CFO positions are vacant and are both in an acting capacity, and there's a process underway to fill those. Centec, again, the list is there, but in summary, the board is fully constituted, the term ending starting 2021, and there are some members that go beyond that, and there are no vacancies at the executive management level. The term of the CEO ending 15 October 2020, with a requirement in the MOI, or the Memorandum of Incorporation, that the board must submit the performance assessment of the CEO 6 months prior to the end of his term of office. And the terms of office of the CFO and COO end on 13 November 2021 and 28 February 2023, respectively. NEMISA, board members listed there. In summary, though, again, the board is fully constituted, but there is a vacancy for the CEO position, which is currently held by a secondee from the department. One of the senior employees of the department is the acting CEO at NEMISA. officer until the CEO is appointed. The board has issued the advert closing 24 January this year, and the board is in the process of conducting the recruitment process. The term of office of the current CFO will end 31 March 2021. That now, the list of board members is there, the board is fully constituted, the CEO was dismissed in July 2019, but has referred the matter for unfair dismissal with the CMA, and the matter is scheduled for appearance on 23 to 27 March 2020. Meanwhile, there is an acting CEO who is performing the function of the previous CEO since that CEO was placed under precautionary suspension. The process to appoint the CEO is commencing, but rather tentatively, because we are keeping the eye of the development at the CCMA. BBI, the board is listed there, otherwise fully constituted, and its term will expire mostly 31 March 2021. No executive vacancies, and the term of the CEO will only end 31 October 2022, and that of the CFO 31 October this year. First bank, we show the four members of the post bank, the non-executive members of the post bank, whose term is ending at the end of March this year, end of next month. I just need to highlight that the process of appointing post bank non-executive directors is a rather long process, almost by design, in the sense that people who are nominated into this board first have to be screened by an auditing firm, and after that screening they then get submitted to the Reserve Bank again for further screening for fitness and properness to hold office in a bank. So this process normally takes too long, but not only takes too long, but a large number of the people who get nominated for this board usually fall off because these stages consider them not to be suitable for appointment into the post bank. That's what happened when the initial board was appointed, but at least we managed to meet the minimum threshold of 5 board members for the first board as provided for in law, but they now remain 4 after the resignation of the CEO of the post office, who was almost an ex officio member of this board, deriving from his position and nomination by the post office. So the process is underway then to get these members on board for the post bank. On the executive side of the post bank, the positions of managing director and CFO are vacant. The recruitment is underway though, and they themselves also need to go the same fit and proper assessment as is done for the board members, and they will then undergo that process, and ultimately the appointment will be confirmed. A lot of work has already happened with respect to the CFO, which has been advertised, candidates interviewed, undergoing psychometric assessment, and are now then being assessed by the Reserve Bank. The recruitment of the MD has just been restarted just to expand the number of people that go into the pool so that they can also be then taken through the screening process. So because of the position of the MD in the post bank is vacant, the previous acting MD and the previous acting CFO have since been suspended since August 2019, and subsequent to that, the acting CFO decided to resign, and now the process of the MD is being taken through as part of the disciplinary process, mostly focusing on the main charges, I should say, relating to the dereliction of duties. That process is underway, but there are people who are acting as MD and CFO respectively. Post office, we list there the board members, and what we are saying with respect to the post office is that the process to appoint the CEO of the post office is underway. We also note the suspension of the acting CEO, who is otherwise the group CEO of the post office, and the group executive for supply chain. And that process is underway, which was commenced based on a whistleblower report. The CFO position is also vacant, and the process to appoint the CFO is underway, and the board has appointed an acting as CFO there. There's an acting CEO there as well. We then reflect in detail on governance and leadership challenges in the post office. I'm not going to go through all of those issues. They are up there, but most of the issues really are things that have been presented to this committee in the past. CETA, with respect to CETA, the term of the board expired in December 2019, and the term of office of the CEO had actually expired prior in March 2019. And he did not avail himself to be considered for reappointment, and the CFO of CETA had resigned in the prior year. So, with the acting CEO in place until the appointment of the executive caretaker was made on 28 January 2020 for a period of 24 months to essentially lead the process of almost refreshing the organization internally from the state of a highly demoralized workforce to energize the organization for performance, but also to deal with the issues relating to service delivery challenges that CETA has encountered with a lot of its client departments complaining about its ability to service them. So, this process facilitates that to happen as well, but also just gives us an opportunity then to truly assess what kind of a board we need to have there in the light of the repurposing work that we are doing. So, in giving effect to this decision, on slide 51, we are showing the process that was followed, starting with getting senior counsel opinion, amending the MOI as required, launching it with the CIBC, security screening and verification of qualifications for the candidate, and including ultimately taking this matter to cabinet by Prime Minister. USASA, a similar story there, in the sense that again an executive caretaker has been appointed for 24 months, almost similar issues again, to assist deal with the delivery of performance challenges of the entity as they relate to the broadband rollout, as well as managing the digital migration process. The term of the CEO had expired on May 2019, and that of the CEO of CFO in October 2019, and so the acting CEO will continue in that capacity while the rest of the functions are taken by the executive caretaker. I have already listed the challenges of USASA relating to BDM and broadband rollout. around. Similar process was followed here again, starting with a senior counsel advisory, and then appointing and screening for both security and qualifications were concluded, and again this letter was tabled in cabinet. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've taken a little bit too long in the hope that my colleague will take less. thank you. We're going to need help then, Lord.
No, Honourable Fandam, just note because that the next presentation is wrong.
Chair, it was quite a comprehensive report, and there's quite a few questions. I don't know if we should deal with this one and then the next one, because it's quite a lengthy report, and I don't know about the other members. I've got quite a few questions.
Okay. No, we'll still allow an opportunity to engage the report like we usually do, but we just thought that we should just receive the presentation, because the next presentation is really an update, because in the quarterly report, we have dealt with that aspect.
Okay.
But the update changes a bit of information that we had there. Otherwise, the main item for engagement is the comprehensive report to ask. Thanks. In that way. No, don't worry. We will allow her to speak for the minutes we are located. I had to put you under pressure. I think if I left you alone, you would have been gone through.
Presentation is about the update on the reconfiguration of the department. We are going to present only the milestones since we are in the last month of this process. And we are saying the setup structure of the new department, UCDT, Department of Communications and Digital Technologies, has been approved by the Minister in November last year. The Minister of the CSA concurred with the structure in November last year. During that process, an agreement or resolution was signed in the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council. It was signed, which allows for the establishment of the departmental task team, which are constituted by the officials from the two departments, the union from both departments, and these task teams are chaired by the General Public Service Sectorial Bargaining Council. So the agreement further requests this DTT, the departmental task team, to deal with the mission and placing of officials in the new structure. So the DCDT has met several times, and I can say that the meetings are going very well, Chairperson. We are at a stage where we have already agreed that we have 337 positions in the departmental infrastructure, and 304 of those employees have already been merged. And 9 employees are not met, and we have agreed that on Thursday we will meet on how we take the process forward, because we are also in that instance guided by the agreement on how we deal with the employees that are not met. We are going to agree on a template where we're going to get their profiles, match them against the vacancies. If they are still not met, there's a process of submitting the names to the PSA so that they can be put in a pool, because there are other departments that will need such skills in the public service to ensure that they are properly placed. And then we also have 4 employees that are being transferred to the GCIS due to the transfer of the MBDA and Brand SA. We will also finalize their transfer as we have seconded them to the GCIS at the moment. And together with that process, we have agreed in the DTT that we should start preparing the transfer letters, and for especially for the nurse and place, and the employees that are not nurse will also agree on the communication to them so that they can make proper choices, so that we can engage and consult them as part of the agreement. And the administrative duties that are also happening behind the scenes is the commencement of creating the codes in terms of the system, the personal system, to ensure that we are ready for 1 April. So we are busy, the pay points and all those things that are needed in the new structure. So the transfer letters, we have also agreed that they will be signed by the minister, since the issue of the disease is still not, it's still outstanding. And then we are also busy with the review of the policies, looking at the policies of the two departments and ensuring that we take all the best practices into the new departments, and the consultation processes in terms of those policies are underway. Okay, that slide is not visible, but it's the macro structure that shows the structure of the new department up to SMS level, senior management level, director, and above. And then the work stream that deals with finance, this work stream has already received the budget that has been approved, that is aligned to the setup structure, and it has also worked on the accommodation needs and the accommodation of all the employees. The employees of DOC and BTPS are now sitting in the same premises. And the other issue here is that the assets have been audited and the, including the budgets that they are still being auditing. And then the other work stream is the IT work stream that has already dealt with the users of the DOC that has to be connected to the email. They connected them to the email that because they were still on the GCIS infrastructure, they had to create an option to access DOC emails and also create the BTPS email addresses. They have done that. They are still working together with CISA to create the domain of the new department. And the issue of the Microsoft licenses, because they involved financial implications, they have been dealt together with the GCIS. And the legal work stream, the outstanding matter on the legal work stream is the issue of the CETA, the proclamation that is still outstanding from CSN presidency, that just has been dealt with and it will be sorted out soon. The last work stream is the communication work stream that is working on the logo of the new department. The memos and route to the minister to choose, we have been given 4 logos by the GCIS for minister to choose and approve one. And they are also dealing with the internal communication of the whole process to ensure that staff is well communicated to and is abreast with the development going into the new structure. And there is also a staff meeting that has been arranged for the 13th of March, where the two DGs will take staff in terms of the whole process and even going forward as what is going to happen. And then issues of the strategic planning. The strategic planning sessions have been held with both departments, even including the entities. And we are now at the final stages where the EXCO has deliberated on the strategic plan and the APP of the DCDP. And they've also been presented to the minister, and the tabling date for the APP and the strategic plans have already been communicated to the department, and we are right on track in terms of submission. And I believe we are right on track in terms of 1st April and the configuration of the department. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, the presentation that has been received, as I said, This other presentation is really an update from the quarterly report that we received. And we'll spend time more on the SOEs. I will now allow members to engage with the report. I will start with the first presentation. If the members want to speak on that, and thereafter I will take the last presentation if there may be concerns raised. Honorable Mantem will be one for by Faku, Honorable Kumbu, Honorable Fandam, Honorable Madisha, after Honorable Fandam, Honorable Malala, and Honorable Kubeka. In that order. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman, for the group. Firstly, I just want you to welcome a presentation, a clear presentation that gives us a clear direction where we are going. On the issue of children, I just want also to appreciate the work done in getting a license for a post-bed. But I was a bit worried, thinking that maybe post-bank will be one of those banks that government will consolidate. But I'm happy now knowing that post-bank will not be part of those banks. Another worry that we have to confess, sometimes it is a day that you can say anything and you can do anything and then wash it. Thank you, Chairperson, on the night.
Honorable Faku. And it's also off.
Thank you, Chairperson.
May I just check, is the aircon centrally controlled, or can you have a way of taking it down? I'm not sure if the mice are also frozen, but for many, I see the reaction. I'm just saying, administration, if you can just check that, as well as the mics, they work. Yes, Honorable Fatima.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for your presentation to the minister and the Chairperson, one must appreciate the fact of all that after all we have done it, this committee and the department has done to pressurize the issue of the measure finally by the 1st of April, it was done. As Minister puts it, a reconsideration, not just a measure. So one must appreciate that. I know that we're coming from far. And from the report that one is getting is that there is proper consultation that has been done. My question with regards to that, are unions part of these decisions that are made? Unions of God, because sometimes the department might say this is the direction of the world media, unions have the total different view, because we don't want this measure to have people that are left out. My second question would be, on the 9 positions that are outstanding, are these senior positions or junior positions? Have these people been consulted to say this is the process that we're still within? This is how we are preparing to move forward. My second one is the issue of the NJPC. I see that the presentation talks about the bailout, which we all know. One thing that I want to understand, are the steps that have been put by Treasury and the Department this SADC is following those steps that we have agreed for. Remember, there were even, I think there were seven. So the question is, are they following those steps before? Because I think now they are waiting for the last stretch. So one would want to know that, do they get proper support from SADC to what we have agreed on in the committee and the Department of Treasury? Are we still on path? Because sometimes we might agree and things don't go according to what we have agreed on. And then on the issue of data, Minister of course announced the issue of data. But one, I remember that this has been to our committee and the strategy. Hopefully, the president is appointed when we do a handover. I think we have agreed on the strategy as we're moving forward. Perhaps it's something that the department and data must look into the strategy that we have agreed on in our last committee meeting, I think it was last year. On the separation of the post office and the post, and I think this has been a question of everyone that is out there to say that is there separation between the two. And I think that as we're moving forward, one would agree that maybe this is a good move to separate. But maybe on that one, since there will be the post bank and the post office, knowing that the post office was merely depending on the post bank because of the income as we are moving forward, what will happen? And the issue, and there's an issue of suspension of people in the media, people that are getting suspended. Maybe this minister can take up with the confidence. I thought our correct process is in following to suspend these people. So as we're trying to reposition data to do a due diligence, is the time frame and the time frames they have put there. So those are my questions to attend, but thank you for the presentation.
thanks, Jefferson. Thanks for the presentation from the department. One can say that the presentation tells you that there's work in progress. But I'm just worried about one thing in terms of the presentation. There are no clear timelines in terms of vacancies which needs to be filled. For instance, vacancies which people have resigned and those with people who are acting, particularly in SACO. There are no clear, I'm not getting clear timelines there, including other entities, for instance, Dozena. If we can just maybe improve on that one, then I think a lot of the presentation is issues that is working. Thank you.
Honorable Fanda.
Thank you. Thanks, Jay. I'd just like to say that thanks for the presentation. It makes clear that we have quite a big task ahead of you, and we wish you all the best in making sure that you are successful in the work that you're doing. And I think we need to play our part, Chair, to make sure that we provide proper oversight and assistance to the department. I see there's quite a lot of legislation that will be coming forward. And what usually happens is that the legislative process takes a very long time, and I'm sure the Minister would like us to be quite hasty in approving that legislation or, you know, doing the work that we'll be doing. So I think we need to offer our support in that sense and undertaking that we will be as speedy as we can with that legislation, because I think the department has a very important work for the country that they need to do in terms of the fourth industrial revolution. So I think we need to do our oversight side properly. And I think the merger of the entities is very complex, and we need to keep a very, very careful eye on what's being done. I am particularly concerned about the state ICT infrastructure company. Mr. Chilembe mentioned either the amendment of legislation or a new bill. So I don't know which one you've chosen, because I think that company will require its own act like other entities are governed. And I would like to, Chair, for us also to get a legal opinion on those measures, particularly the ones with ICASA, which is a Chapter 9 institution, about, I think we need to have that information ourselves on whether there might be any legal implications on that merger, because I do have that concern of ICASA being merged with APB and DOT. And then I think we also, besides the legislation, we need the full details about the state infrastructure company. Because from what I'm getting from you is that a lot of the information hinges on the Presidential Commission, what the Fourth Industrial Revolution Commission. Yes? I'm saying a lot of the work that you're doing hinges on that. That's the sense that I'm getting. So do you have a sense of when that will be finalized? I can't remember who it was who told me that that report is sitting with the president. I think that also needs to be sped up, and perhaps we can appeal to the president, because we also need to get a sense of which direction has been laid out for the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and particularly the merger of these entities, because I think we are going to have to, that's really going to be one of our most important tasks, I think, for the next year or so. The FABC, there was talk of appointing a chief reorganization officer. Has that been done, and who is it? And then you mentioned that in order for the FABC to get the last tranche of the bailout, the preconditions they needed to meet. What are those preconditions? Because as I recall, there was a whole list for them to get the money in the first place. So is it a new one, or is it the one from those first preconditions? Or CETA. It seems like all the other entities are basically stable except CETA, which is very worrying. And the minister is talking of putting them under curatorship, I think it is. I think we also, I don't know if CETA has appeared before the committee last year on the sick leave. I think they need to come as soon as possible so we can get a sense of what's going on. And then Minister, because we're here, it'd be strange for us not to ask about the media reports about your alleged honeymoon trip with your husband. You said there was an investigation being conducted. I mean, we have to ask, is there an investigation being conducted? Who's conducting the investigation? And you said you'd submit yourself to investigation, or that an investigation would be conducted. So who is conducting the investigation? I can look up the report when you said that. If you could just give us feedback on that.
Honorable Matish. At least your mic is working.
Oh yes, thank you very much. Having gone through the report before the meeting, and having listened to the people who gave the report today, Chairperson, I must say that one is happy.
Yeah.
However, wishes to call upon all those who must implement and to do so as a matter of agency. one must further indicate that having sat in this committee for almost 10 years, the reports, very good reports, get given, but then they either are not implemented as a matter of agency, or they are not implemented altogether. Now, those are major problems that I feel that has got to be looked into. I must maybe refer to what Reed talked about, where he said that the bureaucracy, through your chair, and the idea, actually more powerful than parliament and even ministers. These are people who come and give us reports, even write speeches for some amongst us, but not implement. So that's why in very many instances, ministers and parliamentarians are very weak, almost all. Why? Because the bureaucracy is the one that does all the information, give us reports and say, hallelujah, everything is on course. But then there are the people who don't implement. And one again refers them back to what has happened and say, as a matter of agency, you've got to report so that in the next coming meeting, you say to us that you've done 1, 2, 3 so that we're able to move forward. I don't want to, can't blame the minister, I can't blame the parliamentarian, but I will say that these gentlemen and ladies who are seated here, they've got to make sure that everything gets actualized as a matter of agency. Now, permit me again to refer to the important major entities, such as the Post Bank. Okay? Both the working class and the poor people of our country can be able to go there. And again, this is something that has been reported on very many occasions in the past, but has not been actualized. So this has got to be done as a matter of agency. You've given us the report here. Let's make sure that we do this urgently so that our people are able to assess. You've given us this in the past in many, many occasions, but then every time we'll come back and say, Post Bank, we're moving. But we don't see the implementation of that. All this information that you've given us, therefore, has got to be actualized as a matter of agency. The issue of SABC, you know, that to me is a major problem. And permit me, Chair, to indicate that the other smaller political parties, they met and spoke about this thing. I know that some of us come from that milieu where that friend of ours that we never met and shall never meet in life spoke about better few but better. Okay? The present momental challenges that we face as a country must say to us that better all but better. Okay. Now the SABC, for example, does not cover all of us. I think, Chair, you need to indicate that through rather the minister as the person who represents us by us, I'm referring not only to Parliament but the people of South Africa. We have been given that particular position to ensure that South Africans, all of them, are covered in a milieu. SABC will choose together with the bosses. And when I say the bosses, I'm not referring to the ministers and so on, because they don't have power. I'm not talking about the president and parliamentarians, because they don't have power. It will be business, for example, that will say, you go there, or, okay? Now, I'm therefore saying that because you represent us there, please make sure that not only the few who may be here in Parliament, okay, or the so-called majority party and so on, that will be covered, that the information from them only will go to the people of South Africa. But the information from all these people who have been put here by the people of South Africa is reported, or gets reported to South Africa. The money, Chair, that we are giving at ABC comes from the taxes of all the people of South Africa, and therefore not only a small section or the bigger section that is in Parliament must be covered, looked into by the SABC, which belongs to the people of South Africa. I therefore will stand firm on that particular position to say all of us, all parliamentarians, all the people of our country have got to be listened to. Therefore, all the information has got to be captured and taken to the people of South Africa. I have confidence that with effect from the next second, through you, Chair, the Minister will make sure that that indeed gets recognized. Thank you.
Honorable Mulala.
Maybe I'll be a minister one day.
This committee is ambitious.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the ambition, Chair. Thanks, Chairperson. On a lighter note, I hope I don't want to be a minister, I just told you. Thanks, Chair. I think maybe let me start with the. I think Honourable Mandisha's concern on SABC, I think, is a genuine one. The only area where I think we need to amend Honourable Mandisha is that, yes, Minister does not have that power. You see this Broadcasting Act, Section 192, independence and so on. But when it comes to Parliament, I think we do have power. The issue would be how do we exercise that power on the SABC in particular. We seated here have that power. If SABC is not doing things right, they account here in Parliament. So maybe the proposal should be phrased differently. SABC should come and account to us. Because it's us who appoint them, they can't just run away from our power. So on that one, I think, don't say I like power, but we do have power. And then the other concern that on SABC, Chairperson, is the implementation of the turnaround strategy. I think it's almost 3 months, and our last committee, if I recall, our last committee said on a quarterly basis we need to know whether the disturbance.
Sorry.
See, I can only call you to order, I can't call for them, so Shilembe can be in order. Yes, please.
Continue, Honorable.
Yeah. The quarterly assessment of the SABC turnaround strategy for me is very key. Because in the last session we said we agreed Treasury must give the money. There was an outcry. Treasury give the money. Now we've given the money. But we should be doing our part in ensuring that that money is actually implementing the turnaround strategy. Otherwise, we must be prepared to give them another 3 billion, possibly in the next MTF cycle. So that one, I think we need to follow it up, Minister and the committee. The other area that I think we need to look at, I'm also concerned, Chairperson, that if you look at all these entities from last May since I'm in the committee, there's a lot of changes in terms of the executives. And for me, it talks to the stability of the institution. The CEO is suspended, this one. I'll just give you an example on SAPO. Just in particular. Last year we were dealing with, who was that guy, who was the CEO?
McBarnes
left. We addressed the issue, acting one, he exited. Now the acting one is suspended, there's another acting one. So for me, it makes it very difficult for the implementation of the turnaround strategy. Because if you have people changing every day and you want to turn around, it might be difficult. Someone comes in today, start a new turnaround. The old one's direction was not correct and so on. So I think that's a concern that I have, Honorable Minister. We need to look at that area so that we have stability. The other area that I needed to raise, I think Honorable Fagu raised it, on the transitional measures with regard to CETA and how we want to reconfigure. My own opinion, I may not be having that power, but my own opinion would have been, even if we appoint a caretaker, but at least retain some institutional information on the people who were there, so that we don't have this ever-changing situation. Because for me, the new caretaker might take some time to get settled and understand the situation. But if you have the CEO remaining, even though the caretaker might have that power of both the CEO and the board, but you need some people from the board and some from administration who will take him through the transition so that he can exercise his powers. But if he's alone there, starting with new people, I think it's just a concern from my side. And then the last point is on, I think the Zetna one, my colleague has raised it. I'm covered. But overall, I think I'm happy with the progress in terms of the department, the configuration process. I think I'm happy. I think 1st of April will be the first one to make a call to DG to find out now we are ready, because the report you are giving us is that by 1st of April everything will be on track. So I hope to get your number, DG, so that by 1st of April I'm the one who's calling. Thank you.
He will be in the meeting.
Honorable Kubeka.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks very much. Firstly, I would like just to appreciate the actuality on the side of the department, because now you can see that indeed they are trying their level best. It shows since from last year there's a lot of improvement, and also if you can check, we were having a loud voice on the side of SABC only. But now you can see that they are trying to balance actually in those all entities that we are having at the moment. But I would like to say on the side of the bills, Minister, at least if we can have an issue of saying, even if us, if we can have a workshop like, because now I hear that the DG was presenting to say on his side only of telecom, it's more than 10 bills that needs to be tabled. So you can imagine when on your side also those bills, how many are there in order that we need to have to pass it on the side of the NA House. So that one also it needs to be take it into a very, very consideration, because now it seems as if we are just a little bit relaxing there. What I would like to say, on these other entities, I can see that progress, but now the issue of SAPO and CETA, it seems as if now we need to take care, just like when we were sensitive on the side of the SABC, because now there is this frustration on the side, especially of the SAPO. As you can see, when we were tabling, more than 12 challenges that they had tabled there to say they wanted to do this, but because of those dynamics that are there in that entity, it's a frustration. It seems as if we can be serious to take a serious conscience to say, let's focus on the side of SAPO, because everything there, it seems as if it's in tatters. Information is leaking, suspension after suspension. So if we can try to raise up the bar in SAPO, I think we will try our level best. And also on the side of the Post Bank, as we are raising to say, even the process of appointing, it seems as if it's a long process, even if it does not have a time frame. But let's try to speed up, because now we need as early as possible the issue of Post Bank. So if we want to deal with the matters of Post Bank, it needs to be in order first, in order that it can run their own home affairs correctly. But this one of Sita Nkosiya, and I hope, because you are saying on the side of the repurposing, let's give a chance to the side of the caretaker, in order that we must see how best can he assist the Sita in order that it can be revive itself to work in the way that we want a Sita to be, not to say it needs to run with the issue of procurement only, as you are saying, as the issue of the ICT, it needs just to show to say now it raised its bar in order that it must be with all issues that needs to be encountered there. I thank Chair.
Minister, maybe ask you are to respond. Yeah, as you are to respond.
The minister's voice is refusing, Chair. Unfortunately.
You know, the thing is that I was not the shop steward, so I can only talk to the student movement. voice in the assembly. So, but I think, Minister, as you would have heard, there's a sense of us accepting progress made so far. But I just wanted, for the purposes of the committee and how we finalize the quarterly report that we have received, so that we don't get back to that report. That the understanding is that what we have been presented with now is a correction to what we had received. Because what we received in the quarterly report was that we needed to jump Workstream 1, which talks to the human resources and so on, and that it was pending DPSA signing off. But it's important so that we know the message we're sending to the National Assembly, because the reports will be now going to the National Assembly. And it helps us in the actual debates in the House that we have reported correctly. I take it that's what you are communicating on that one. Now, I'm raising this thing for those that have been doing the report, because it then talks to the amendment of the report, that in actual fact, we are on course. So the 1st of April is still the process, as it relates to the department reconfiguration. But for other the entities, it's a process that's outlined in the report for the entities. I just want us to be clear on that, so that when you respond, if you think that's not the understanding, you can also clarify that aspect. Maybe the other part relates to the SABC. Again, just clarity on the actual presentation, where you talk about yourselves and National Treasury having done verification, came to an agreement that SABC has met all, and that sooner you will be communicating that verification outcome to the SAPC. But the last point then takes us back to the preconditions. Now you need to just clarify so that we know what is the message that we are sending to the public. I think what the committee says will be more of assessment of implementation of the turnaround. But the turnaround is funded, in a way. So we then need to know where is. Where are we on the funding part? So that even when SABC reports, they don't say it's pending the funding. When in fact the report, which is now going to be public information,
is that National Treasury and yourselves have come to a conclusion that they've met those conditions. So I just thought it's important to deal with that aspect. Maybe the last 2 points, just on SAPO. I think with regard to SAPO, what South Africans want to hear more is exactly what Honorable Mlala was saying. Irrespective of the movement of people and actions that get taken, that there is still a sense of stability, that the services that they need are to be delivered without problems. I think that will go also in a long way in addressing underlying interests in different aspects of what post office delivers. So I'm just saying, when at least be more clear on that aspect, so that as members we can go out and make sure that that happens. Maybe, as I said, the last point would be a reference to law in the actions that that get taken. I think it's good that you've also referred us to a legal opinion in the report. But what we asked for was that we were given legislation in the previous meeting without the meat we have today of governance, what is happening there, and so on. Just to make sure that we are also empowered as the committee to make reference to that and be able to answer any question that comes up in the public space with confidence that our information cannot be contradicted by anything that comes before us, at least based on reports that we have received. And I think we're asking these questions in order to give better support to the department as people who play oversight. And I think I can't agree more with members that even with the bills, it's good to have many of them, but surely at this point in time, you have prioritization, that for us to move to a particular level, this, in terms of legislation, will be our enabler in the intervening period, but others we may want to still come in the term. But those that really have to go through, you would need the committee to support in a big way on that. But that support would come also when we know what is priority, especially in enabling the process to move quicker in that score. Otherwise, other questions members have covered adequately. I'm sure the minister will be ready to respond. Honorable Fanda, you thought you left a point. Yeah.
Chair, just a request on behalf of Honorable Magesha.
Is that a new coalition?
Yes, it was a question.
Is that a new coalition?
Please deliver Honorable Magesha to the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I'm not sure what his conventional oversight of it is.
I take it that you are not inviting an investigation on Honorable Magesha, because we may just have to understand what is he running away from by having such a phone that belongs to us. Honorable Minister, that was on a lighter note. I think it's just to register that there may be a coalition of small parties. Over to you, Minister.
I need your voice now. I have 20 seconds. Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to respond to very few questions and leave the rest to the team, which is led by the DGs, and they will respond to the question. I just want to respond to the question in terms of the instability or the perceived instability in the entities. Mainly we're talking SAPO, Post Bank, CETA, and USASA, because everywhere else the stability is only those that we may be referring to. And it's SAPO, of course, because of the suspension. One thing about alleged corruption is that you can't say no, don't suspend people if one thing to this information that it came to the fore. So you've got to give that process its own faith, and then they deal with matters. I was concerned myself that, but we've just had that gone. Is there enough evidence and all those
because I needed to get certainty from my side that these things are not just being done because Stella took over, and therefore when I take over, I need my people and all that. So that one is something beyond our control at executive level at SACO. The CFO was weakened, so it's the process of filling it in. Even if you go to CETA, there was no CEO. If you look at CETA and you suffer the similarities, there was no board that was in place. And because there are entities that are in the transitional process, as I was talking about. So we had to take into consideration all those. If you appoint the lawyers, appoint for 3 years, appoint for 5 years, would you have finalized or would you start with these people that are put there based on the previous mandate and all that? Or you want to transition, make sure that the entity focuses on the actual mandate that it's delivering on, but repurposing itself to that you want to establish, which is why the maximum is 2 years of that process. But we had said to cabinet 18 months, but cabinet felt like there's also legislative processes. So 24 months would make sense, so that by the time the handover is done, the work has been done, and they just deliver on the work. In relation to CETA, people are there. All those people that were there. The only thing we did not appoint was the board. The same people that were there, the executive is working with them. So the strategy that was presented there is still by the same people. But it's on saying, how do we then build up small teams to attend to the departmental challenges? If you remember, Honourable Rumors, the last time I reported that I came to the Portfolio Committee of Home Affairs, I had to meet with the Minister of Police, I had to meet with the Minister of Defence, and other provincial departments. So we said now, we've got to make sure that we build units that must focus specifically on these urgent service delivery issues that are affecting CETA, whilst we are building the capacity for the future. But if we wait and we only focus now, it means by the time the bills are finalized, we must start the process again. And then we said, we'd rather now, whilst we have an opportunity, instead of appointing 3 or 5 people as whatever, let's put this so that this person has this money. And the on CETA, the caretaker that we have is not the only person that's there. The IPC made it clear that we need to have 3 directors on that. We are waiting the process of vetting on that. So he's not a sole runner of the organization. There's 2 more people that are working from the director side, as the CIPC requested. And then the administrative personnel, the same people that are there, but we're beefing up on those that we are saying CETA has failed to implement because of capability internally. And that takes us back to the initial mandate of CETA, because now departments are advanced in terms of technologies. When they require services, it's what CETA cannot offer. So we said we're looking at those urgent things. How do we turn around, build this data that must be responsive, bring the skills that are required to address the challenges currently, whilst we're also going to utilize them for the future. And then USASA, as I said. Even at USASA, because of the broadband challenge, the digital migration process, we've put lots of people who've been doing this and that, there has been instant. I don't know how many bosses I have seen, but we've had a number of them. So that's why we're like, does it help to say anyway we want to transition this body to this, or we attend to the specific tasks we must focus on and then transition. That's what we do. So we have not removed any CEO or board. Their terms came to an end, and then we said, instead of appointing board, when you appoint, you're going to appoint based on the law, 5 years or 3 years, and this is the mandate. And we do know that when there's the money in the exit, we'll be saying the law says this. And therefore we can't be doing whatever that is not in the law. So we had to balance those. That's why we had to get all the legal counsel to say, how best can we make sure that we achieve this within this short space without us waiting up for longer. Again, on the issue of the last before I wanted to talk to 3 things. Yes, the speeding up of the process of the post-bank with. It is very important. We are awaiting the media will respond to those the amendments that must be done by Parliament, and then we go. We've met with the Reserve Bank to iron out whatever issues that we had, and of course in relation to the people now that must be there. We're going to go then for the finalization of those, and we advertised all the boards. The nominations were done, the team is doing the shortlisting based on the skills that we need, and then they undergo the Reserve Bank process of fit and proper. There we not even saying as the excess the minister appoints I only say the Reserve Bank appoints. Because if you are not approved by the Reserve Bank, then you're not gonna win on that. On the SABC chair, we have agreed. The technical team, both from the Treasury, SABC, and our department, have agreed that SABC has met the remaining two. For that was in October when we had four. No, settlement. Okay. The outstanding for that we announced. I can't remember the current. So now the teams are saying that I have satisfied myself also as the minister. So now I'll return to the Minister of Finance to contact because we need to come together. We sent a letter last year because that report we get monthly, so we've got to check all those things. So Chair, we are satisfied from our side. We're just waiting for concurrence from Treasury, and then immediately the Minister of Treasury of Finance are concurred, then the money gets to be transferred. So the precondition line there is outdated. Yeah. And the report here, as you were saying, probably is the correction in terms of the progress on the reconfiguration or the merger of the two departments. It's not a correction. When we gave you the report, it was the previous quarter. Mm-hmm. Now in this quarter, work has progressed. So we will report on it on this quarter, this last quarter of the year. So in that quarter, in the third quarter, work was at that stage. I hear you, but I know now I already say, but reporting of things that have already happened, but according to the time frame, that report then was relevant. So we're not correcting it, but we're informing the committee that we've progressed now where we are, and therefore in the final quarter report, then you will get it. I will let the conditions are honorable, Van Damme, as the previous one, but I think towards the remaining the DJs will then respond to. Or just on the presidential FOIR report. I don't know who said the report is with the president.
I can't remember. She said it.
Yeah, because what as president, the chair of the commission, the commission tabled the report, advanced report, they went to the cabinet to put that, but now they must take it for consultation. They have to come here to consult with parliament. They have to go to the provinces. They have to consult all other stakeholders before it becomes the final. So it's not final, it was a draft report, but they have to update the chair of the commission. I had returned to them last week to say, when can we expect the start of the consultation? The deputy chair responded by saying they're going to give us date because they have scheduled a meeting, but they couldn't meet. So we are waiting for them to give the schedule, because we also need you to help us in terms of the provinces and other stakeholders to say people must go and participate in that process. But we will announce, I guess, by next week, and we will try to send the information. I will then
To the details of the questions that were asked. There was a question that asked about the presentation that was done by Ms. Chusi on the NMOC process. As to, are there any senior personnel or employees that are in the line? You can confirm that five are senior at the senior management level and the remaining four are below senior management level. That's the one. Then there was the other question that came and asked what is the relationship between, are you keeping abreast of the union? There is the NMOC Developmental Task Team, which is run in line with the PSA. The unions are part of those meetings. And actually, because there are those minor issues that Minister has already reported to, the teams are working very well, because each and every union is represented in the Developmental Task Team at a national level. So far, the relationship is working very well. And then, there was a question that was asked around the merging of the three institutions, just on the section, I think of section 192 of the Constitution. That, in that respect, I think what the work that was doing, honorable members, is that we're looking. First, we have to look at the why certain entities exist and look as to what is the requirement in the future. I just want to go to this 192 to actually state that 192 is an IBA provision which says that an independent authority to regulate broadcasting in the public interest and to ensure fairness and diversity of views to promote representing South African broader society. This was around 1994 when the Transition Government was in place. That provision has always been respected. As a result, ICASA has gone under Gordon Gamba at the time it was IBA in 2000. It merged with the then South African Telecommunications Regulatory Authority, became ICASA. The satellite IBA became SATRA. Then in 2013-12, ICASA then was merged with another entity called the Postal Regulator. There was a Postal Regulator, that one a directorate, a chief directorate within the then Department of Telecommunications, Post and Telecom type of then. So it was met with that entity. And I just wanted to confirm that at no given point has Section 192 been tampered with. And that is the point. And then the other question as to who is the CRO, that would be by an announcement by the minister when that decision has been made. I just wanted to clear that. Then on the remaining conditions, the questions that were asked around the SABC, Mr. Schellinger has gone into detail that there is a monitoring task team. This monitoring task team does not take away the role that Mr. Schellinger and his team plays in oversight. It does not take away the responsibility of the portfolio committee in oversight, but the monitoring team is a monthly reporting structure to actually satisfy the question that was asked them, how far is it heading around, so that they don't come back and ask for more money. So that is the whole purpose of the monitoring task team. And of concern to the monitoring task team, I can actually say, will actually be issues around capital investment around the SABC, whether they are able to bring in money, even when it comes to private sector participation. How are they able to derive value from those private sector participation without interference? It's more of a reporting framework. And actually, the thing that we have seen is that reports actually do not lie. Once you put it in a report, the report tells you what is going on. So there was a question about as well along SABC and we were not covering all South African. Ironic that actually somebody said to me, we are more obsessed about the coronavirus and Trump blasting a bomb and different. We don't report about South Africa. However, that being said, the issue of the news and content and editorial independence lies within the SABC. The SABC has control as to what it will show on TV. So you will see now more private operators in communities have actually shown more things that are happening in the diverse community. So that is where I wanted to stress. The minister cannot interfere in the editorial and content acquisition of the SABC. So I think from my side, those were the issues that you need to be just asked to the question around the workshop.
Thanks, Chairperson, members, minister, and colleagues. I'll just deal with two issues. The first issue is with regard to the post office, so that it does not come like when the post office present and we are told that there are challenges. It's like the department is downplaying the kind of challenges that are there in the post office. So as Minister has indicated, there are indeed the challenges. Now, this is what it is. It is clear that when you separate the post office and the post bank, the balance sheet of the post office is going to be affected quite severely, you know, when that happens. So we are working with the post office on this matter so that we can then go to Treasury and say the implication of the decoupling is that when you look at the post office balance sheet without the post bank, it's going to change and raise issues about the sustainability of the post office.
Now, while working on the money issues that we always assist with, at the same time, we have been asking the post office to come with other innovations that we can introduce. And this is not only unique to the post office. All the other entities in government is saying that we can no longer just build state entities. We need to also think about other interventions to deal with the post office. So I just wanted to add to what the minister said and put on record that we are not downplaying the seriousness of the challenges that are there in the post office. At the same time, the department actively participates in the discussion with SASA and the Department of Social Development and report to the two ministers and, of course, to the head of state in terms of what is happening with the payment of social grants. There have been some challenges given the fact that when we took over, we did not inherit the system that was operated by CPS. So you have to build this system from anew. You will not find someone who has a complete integrated system ready to plug and play. Either you took the one that was used by CPS or you come with a new one. And we opted to come with a new one. Now, 12 months later after the payment of social grants, we are aware of the flash points, areas where there are challenges, and there are discussions that we are having. At the two CEOs meet, and the DGS will also start to actively meet, because there are other things that need to be resolved, including whether what SABO is paid is adequate or not. And at the right time, we'll come back to the committee to report back on that. Now, coming to the legislation, there is no doubt that we have a long list of laws. And what we've done, we have first compiled the list that has been submitted, obviously, to the government process. But what we're doing now, we then identify in each and every bill what we call issues paper, which we can conclude in a short space of time. So the issues paper will then say, this bill, what are the issues that go with this bill? And how important are these issues? So that we can then rank the bills in order of priorities. If you ask anyone here, the ADG minister and everyone will say, everything is important. But I think we are going to face a reality where we are going to do that. So we will be available once asked by Parliament to come to brief the committee on that issues paper, where we see Bill A, it deals with the following issues, Bill B deals with the following issues, and based on that, we can then agree on the ranking of the bills, which one should be prioritized. Lastly, on the issue of due diligence, what we've done, particularly on the state company, because it involves two entities, we have been doing due diligence. So what we've been doing, while working on the business case of what this should be, including the laws, what we've also been doing is to do a due diligence so that we can then say what assets exist, you know, what officials exist. So that work is running in parallel, and we will have a report, I think, by the end of March that shows the due diligence report of the two companies will be ready. That will show where and as the minister indicated, we're also looking at other state entities that are providing their own broadband services. And the DDG can sit with other issues there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just on that note, honourable members, one of the things, as we talk about the circumscription and the entities, if you observed when we were making the announcements, we also make the announcements of filling in the vacancies of Centec, and we said their terms are aligned to the current board. Because we are cautious of saying you are appointed for 5 years because the excess is. This is still going to see where the board members' terms are coming to an end now. To say if we know that they're going to be affected by the configuration, we're not going to be appointing for the full term, but they will come and fit in for the remainder of the term. So that's one thing, because as we're saying, if we're thinking about reconfiguring, we're working towards the dinner stage, we shouldn't be then stuck with lots of boards that we know all together that next year are some of them who will not be in existence. So we're trying to integrate all of those in one place. That's true.
Yeah, just very quickly, on the vacancies, the question that was asked on the vacancies, we are filling the vacancies, and I think in the last 2 weeks alone, Minister might have signed not less than six appointments in the department. So those are still not reflected in what you see. So there are vacancies that we are filling, but what was being spoken to by the presentation that Matsope did,
These are just matching of the existing people. So there are two separate processes. The filling of the vacancies, that process is ongoing, especially the DDGs that have been vacant for more than 5 years. So that work is being done. But then there is a separate process that deals with the matching of people where you can have access people because of corresponding positions. So that is a separate process that is being addressed with the bargaining council. But on our own, we are filling the vacancies in the department.
Thank you, Chair. Just one thing really to clarify for me. I think the rest of the questions have been dealt with. This has to do with the Post Bank in relation to the State Bank. I just wish to clarify, our presentation is not categoric here to say Post Bank will stand in separate distinction, you know, from the State Bank. We understand there is work underway. You know, the Treasury will be consulting the rest of the departments that have development finance institutions and banks and so on. So we do not know yet what will come out of that process. Thank you.
I don't have a voice, so
no,
come back. We don't give that one.
Okay.
Maybe just to indicate that we have had responses, but for other matters, we would still have to come back to them. Honorable members, you'd remember that there's still an outstanding report from ICASA as the regulator on the coverage for the elections. You'd remember that that matter was postponed twice because ICASA was not ready. And that presents an opportunity to also engage the regulator. I think we also need to make sure that we do not propagate the narrative that there is interference in the, you know, the editorial and all that. But remember, that's already in reports now. Whether you would look at what has been raised in the Zondo Commission or in the inquiry that was done in Parliament, so you would not want to go back to that route. But as Honorable Mlala says, let's use the power we have of being parliamentarians who must do oversight on these entities, especially in relation to that section 192, because on the broadcasting side, it makes that independence issue to come in. Let alone that when it is finances, the department must ensure that there's transfers to the people they have no control over. Right? But we have control because we do the appropriations ourselves. So I don't want us to downplay that question you've asked, Honorable Matisha, in terms of the discussion you are having. I want us to still come back to it when ICASA appears before us and giving us the report about the coverage, because that report was also about preparing better for the coming local government elections on how you fairly distribute coverage by different political parties. But unfortunately, that report must come from ICASA, not from the department. So I'm just saying, even though you would have received the answer, but it still comes back to us to look at that issue. So if we can just agree, that's probably how we are handling it. But I will give you an opportunity before I close the matter, because it seems you want to still come back to clarify the point.
Coach, Ngwishi Jabot. You see, the way she put it, I don't think it's proper. Okay? I understand very well that the minister cannot go in there, you know, to understand that a picture is painted that she's censoring the SABC persons and so on and so on. That one will be wrong. Okay? I think the DG.
Acting DG.
Yeah. I think that is not proper. The minister is a person that we have deployed there, ourselves as parliamentarians, ourselves as the people of South Africa, all of us, to say that go there and make sure that 1, 2, 3 gets done. But then we're not saying she must go there and send her and so on. So I understand and agree with you, Chairperson, that we later when talk about, when we talk about CETA and all those, okay, we'll look into that. But then at the present realm, something has got to be done. Hence I'm saying the minister really sits there and gives direction. I want to put it in that way. And I agree with my colleague here that yes, Parliament does have, permit me to say, some little bit of power. Because albeit we say we have power, when you go down, people simply ignore you. All right. So those are the things that we need to deal with. And when we do sit down later, we shall go into that as a committee. But then one will insist really that for the sake of all the people in South Africa, SADC must do what it's supposed to do. Then.
No, at least we find each other on this. I'm sure, Minister, you understand. It's raised from a point that you also have a section or unit that deals with oversight on entities. I know this is the question Honorable Lala continues to ask. Who does what between you and us, entity oversight? So, but all I'm saying is that what's important is that the point has been raised, and I think in the sessions where you are dealing with the matter, it would be raised accordingly. So all I'm saying is that at least we have a sense as a committee of where things are based also on the answers given. But sometimes it takes a bit of time between a committee sitting and what happens in the space, public space. I think we should still emphasize the point. It's important to be taken into confidence, share the info. I've just seen a media advisory, which I also believe can also go a long way in clarifying certain matters by SAPO in the public space, right? But we just need to be, I think, taken on board. It may not be in meetings, but when committee members are aware, we're able to share the info that this is where things are, and we should not be taken by surprise. I think the matters that we said may need correction. It's in relation to dates, because when you look at October, it's in that quarter. Right? So we just want for correctness, because the cry would be that the targets that were set are not now aligned to what we said should be. We need to find that actually this report clarifies that point, if you get what I'm saying. But the update for the next quarter, I think we'll be fine with that. But we just need to be sure that we don't send different signals to the NA. Otherwise, as I said, the other report, as PUTSI members have not really engaged it on the basis that for us it's an update from what was dealt with. So the entities, I think, were clearer. We'll just have to monitor that indeed things get to happen, okay, in that score. So Honorable Mlala still wants to come back. Honorable Faku still wants to come back. I'm sure there are questions that they are not answered adequately from what they've raised. Honorable Mlala, then followed by Faku.
Yeah, I don't think it's a question per se, Chair. I think the issue that Honorable Madisha raised, it's a very sensitive matter. We need to engage maybe at some point. Because the issue of coverage relates to the independence of the editorial section in the SABC. Now, I don't want us to pit the minister against the SABC, because that is a role that we must play as Parliament, because we are representing the people all over South Africa. They elected us to do that work. SABC is not giving full coverage to the whole of South Africa. Who must stand up? It's us, Honorable Madisha. But if we say, Minister, get in, you have some power in terms of oversight, we're actually making the minister to do the very same interference that we said she must not do. So I'm saying, maybe in agreeing with your chair, that maybe we need to do a follow-up on all those outstanding reports. The CASA future now we can have the right platform to raise all those issues because they are pertinent. We can't draft a constitution that says we must give everybody coverage and then at the same time come back and retract from that. So I just wanted to emphasize on that part so that we don't leave this meeting with the impression that, Minister, there's something that you're going to do relating to editorial matter. Because that, remember, we're in public now when we speak. Because that can also raise another media inquiry tomorrow. Minister, why are you agreeing to go and so on? Yes. Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to clear that so that we agree with Honorable Manisha. That's that concern. It must be addressed, I think. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Fako? Come on. Okay. So, in that school, you don't need to respond. Yes. Okay. So you can then speak to the, your closing points then. Yeah.
Oh,
is that not working?
Yeah.
Oh.
At least this time is my voice. That is me.
Thank you. So, in relation to what you raised earlier on the issues that get into the media space, Honorable Sandam asked about my alleged honeymoon trip.
Sure, yeah.
I didn't respond to that. I forgot to respond to it. Honorable Sandam, as I said in my statement, yes, the minister went to Geneva and New York. Okay? Leave the scissor in the issue. What are you going to want to come to that? So I did. I went there for departmental work. Mm-hmm. And yes, I was accompanied by my husband.
And you allowed to?
Yes. And as the Minister Handbook says that we are entitled to two international trips with the spouse, it was in accordance with that. The paper reported that my husband further undertook a trip to Paris, which is what actually I found myself responding to when I was talking to Toby. But I thought he meant Paris as I was saying to him, and I meant Paris. So which is a blatant lie. Now, as that allegation was made in the media, and then the parties came on board, EFF and they issued statements to say EFF said they're going to call for investigation by the public project. So in my statement, I said I welcome the investigation. So as long as members believe that there's something that has been done, as the minister is involved in all those wrong things, then the investigation is welcome. Not that I'm going to investigate myself. Mm. Because I had put my evidence, but there was nothing I could do on the paper or something like that. The second allegation on the same paper was the issue of the car that we used. What is the car? Some luxurious car, I don't even know. Yes, or all those whatever cars. Because I'm not that person of cars, I had to ask this car where we driven because I wanted to understand if indeed. So until the embassy, they were like, no, we're in a C-class. I was like, oh, okay. So the car that they reported about, it wasn't true. And I said, if they have evidence of those, they claim to have, let them provide that evidence. So that was the matter.
No, I think that clarifies the matter, honorable members. That takes us to, in relation to the item we're to handle, to the closure. I know that there are minutes that have been sent to you. Please go through them. Send your comments on that. If you want to speak on the matter. Because I asked you to do your closing with my friend. You are not doing that. But you see, I'm a light chair. I allow.
She's enjoying my voice. That's why. She's coming back many times.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Honorable Mulalo, for your voice. Chair, you may mention again that it's important that we brief you on time.
Yeah.
We met with the manufacturer last week on Friday in relation to the DTT. You will remember that the other time I said we have decided we're not going for any tender. People must manufacture boxes, they must put them on the tape, and then now we're looking to the subsidization of those that qualify and those that don't qualify for subsidies, they must pay for themselves. So we met with the manufacturers. Now what they agree, they are positive in terms of supporting the program. We agree that we are waiting for ICASA and SABS who are working on revised standards. So ICAS has asked that we give them 3 weeks, which is by the week of the 23rd. So you may see that in the media because our media has been making a follow-up on that. That's one thing I wanted to touch on. Thank you.
That's progress. Moving. With that, this meeting stays adjourned. As I said, minutes. have been forwarded to yourself, go through them, we'll approve them board in the meeting. We'll also have the amended reports for the quarter, because those need to be approved by the committee. Do expect that those can also be circulated to yourself. So we just have to manage the next meeting better. Otherwise, the meeting stays adjourned unless I've left any pocket. Until we see each other in the house.
We're not going to have time for lunch. Yeah?